Yesterday at the Kentucky Derby, always dreaming wasn't free. It would cost you 9-2, but you wound up in the winner's circle if you did lay a bet down. I'm very happy to be speaking with not only Chicago Blackhawks broadcaster extraordinaire, but also a horse racing fanatic and a part of NBC's Kentucky Derby coverage. Eddie Olczyk, how you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing fine, Jim. Thanks for having me. Hope you're well.
Oh, I hope you are well, too. You had to have fun. For you to be at the Kentucky Derby, it has to be like a kid in a candy store, right?
Well, it is a great passion of mine, Jim, that's for sure. And, you know, the opportunity that, you know, the folks at NBC have given me over the course of the last couple of years, and obviously with the cooperation of the Blackhawks over the course of the hockey season, whether it's the Breeders' Cup or what have you, a big race in Florida, the Pegasus, you know, Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough and Jay Blunk allowing me to be a part of that. And I think they certainly understand, you know, the cross-promoting of both sports. And for me, it's always been a passion of mine, and to be a part of the, you know, really the biggest day in our in our country anyways, as far
All right.
as you know, viewership and when people – you know, and the majority of people hear the Kentucky Derby, I mean, they, you know, it's must-see TV, it's an appointment TV, and people will watch and have parties regardless of where they are. Or if you get the opportunity, and I was able to do this, Jim, a handful of years ago where I had a weekend off during the playoffs, I got a chance to go down to the Derby as a fan, and I would encourage anybody, if they ever get the opportunity, they're looking for something different to do. And again, you don't have to, you know, the gambling part of it and, you know, the racetrack part of it is a big part of it, but there's so much going on down there, and it's a great event, and I think it's one of those things that I think are, Chevy, apple pie, and baseball, right? Well, I think I would put the Kentucky Derby in there as well.
Well, the most exciting 2 minutes in sport, right?
Well, if you're on the right end of the winning horse yesterday and always dreaming it is.
Well, apparently, from what I saw, a certain Eddie Olczyk was not on the correct end of the.
I did not have the winner, but full disclosure, I did have three of the top four. We had the first, the second, and the fourth place horse. So I used a bunch of horses. Obviously, I could not get it all together. And being a horse player, if swore you know what, then probably
right.
be talking to you. But so it was, you know, I went with the 15 horse McCracken.
Right,
he got cracked right out of the gate. I don't know if anybody saw the head-on replay that?
Yeah, I was
coverage showed out of that. Looked like maybe Brent Seabrook in the corner.
Yeah, right.
With a couple of Detroit Red Wings in there, but you know, so it was. It was great, and look, I thought it was a wide-open event going in and ended up being the favorite. And, you know, I think it's interesting, Jim, is that over the course of the last couple of years, there's been a hockey tie, a National Hockey League tie to the Kentucky Derby. Last year, the winner was Nyquist, and the owner of Nyquist is Mr. Paul Redham, who is a Windsor, Ontario native right across the border from Detroit, where the Red Wings play, and he's a big Red Wing fan. Huh. So he named that horse after Gustav Nyquist.
Right.
A forward for the Detroit Red Wings. So this year, Vinny Viola, a graduate of West Point and the owner of the Florida Panthers, is part owner with his wife in Always Dreaming, the horse
wow.
at the Kentucky Derby yesterday. So, yes, I should get checked into the boards or out of the stadium for not yeah. out of the United Center for not going with the hockey tie.
No kidding. Yesterday.
But, yeah, so the National Hockey League with some great publicity over the course of the last couple of Kentucky Derbies in front of, you know, millions and millions of people. And as well, Jim, for people that may not know, the Kentucky Derby made a visit yesterday to Churchill Downs, and it happened to make a stop into the barn.
Really?
Always Dreaming in the morning. Yeah, there's a couple of great pictures there where Always Dreaming is in his stall, and the Stanley Cup is just
front
center. He's just looking right at it. Like, you know, like, so, yeah. So maybe
that's cool.
A little karma there with the Stanley Cup and the Kentucky Derby, or maybe the future Kentucky Derby winner, because the same thing happened last year with Nyquist. They brought the Stanley Cup to his barn before the race.
Oh,
and
wow.
Sure enough, both those. So the key is to find out who's going to get the Kentucky Derby, who's going to get the Stanley Cup prior to the running of the Kentucky Derby there next year, because there seems, and things happen in three, Jim, so we'll see what happens.
Well, and I also have to say, I was very impressed. I mean, as you said, the Kentucky Derby has become more than just a race. It is it's the scene to be. It's become a fashion kind of thing with all the hats. I loved your hat yesterday.
Look at as long as I don't ever have to hang my hair up with my hat, I'm okay.
I mean, it was such a great idea. If you didn't watch the broadcast today, Eddie had a big hat with a puck and a stick in it. It was gorgeous. I mean, yours was much better than Johnny Weir's has been the last couple of years.
And now it's on eBay. I see the bids already. Just roll it in.
But I had to laugh when I'm watching. I watch the Triple Crowns like you. My dad at a young age, my dad loved to go to Arlington.
Yeah.
And he took me to Arlington from a very young age, and I wasn't betting, and I'm not even a big gambler. To your point, many times I go to Arlington. It's just so gorgeous there. I love horses. They're so pretty. I love to watch the race. Sometimes I will go to Arlington and not even bet a horse.
I'll just watch
the races.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, I kind of feel like I'm fighting a lot of the same battles, Jim, doing hockey games as being somebody that tries to help and promote, you know, both games, both hockey and horse racing. And no, you're right. I mean, to just go out to Arlington or to Hawthorne, I mean, you know, but sure, it is about the wagering and gambling aspect of it, but I mean, these are just amazing animals at, you know, 1,300 pounds traveling at 35, 40 miles an hour. And then you get these jockeys, these brave men and women that jump on the backs of these horses and, you know, and they're all, you know, somewhere in between that 108 and 125 pounds. And, you know, they're crashing and banging and the gates open and things happen. And, you know, but it's a fun day to be out, right? It's another way to be entertained. You know, especially in our city here. But again, I mean, if you're looking to go to the big events, whether it's the Triple Crown races or go to the Breeders' Cup, and you know, like it's a place to be. And you're right, there's so many things going on. Like in Kentucky, in Louisville, Jim, there were parties going on. There's fashion shows going on. You got the races going on. There's incredible restaurants there. So you're right. It's more than just the 2 minutes now, the Kentucky Derby.
Now tell me, because that is one thing that I've been to a lot of cool events, around the country and things like that. The Derby is always one that I've wanted to go to. Now, so give us a little insight. Is it? I mean, what they said yesterday, it was 150,000 people there.
Uh-huh.
So when you do go there, I mean, is it really unmanageable or is it? I mean, there's gonna be a lot of people, but in terms of like, you know, hotels and restaurants and parking and travel, I mean, is it really a real kind of grind to go through it, or is it okay? Is it an experience you should do?
I think that they've got it down now where it's accommodating, right? Look, you're going to go anyway. I mean, if you're going to go to an event and there's going to be 150 or 175,000 people there, I mean, it's going to be busy. But I think if you have the mindset going in there is that, you know, you're not going to be rushed and, you know, you're not going to be in a hurry and, you know, you can't be leaving your hotel, you know, an hour before the races because, you know, it's going to be the busiest time. It's like trying to get down to the United Center sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, for a game, like, you know, do you want to leave right in the heart of rush hour? Or do you want to leave before? Or do you want to leave and get there halfway through the game? So, I mean, you know, that the planning of it to me, that's a real important part of it. But look, if that's something, you know, your listeners maybe want to get into or take a look, you got to get on online or get on the blower now and start making calls and trying to figure out. I mean, I think they're going to have 12 new hotels up in Louisville by the time 2018 Kentucky Derby. And I don't even know how many they have right now, but I mean, the city's busy, which is great. I mean, it's an event. It's like, you know, kind of feels like a Super Bowl weekend where everybody is there and there's whatever you want to do. It's, you know, you got young people, you got older people, it just got every demographic. But I would encourage anybody, and I would say it'd be one of those things you'd look back, you know, 5-10 years from the time you go, and you're probably a year from then, you say, you know what, I got to go back. I mean, so much fun.
Well, it does look.
It's about entertainment, right? That's what it's about, being entertained. So long-winded, Jim, I would say that you would be really entertained, and I don't think that you would, you know, look at, there's always somebody that's going to have a bad experience. I get it, but I think the majority of it, I think you would just have a thrill of a lifetime.
So now tell me, I had to laugh once again watching you guys do the coverage, because while it was very deceiving watching it on television weather-wise, because it seemed like the weather was going from sunny to cloudy to pouring rain. It was kind of hard to tell what was going on, but I had to laugh when they came out and you guys were all interviewing the owners and things as the horses first come out. I mean, what kind of shoes were you wearing? Did your suit get ruined? Because, I mean, you were walking in the slop.
Yeah. We came prepared as far as the footwear there. I had the old 1955 galoshes.
Oh, did you have galoshes on?
Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah, you had to. So,
yeah, I mean, that was thick. I mean, that was not just...
You know, it's amazing, though. I think the only way to really... I guess to try to describe it to people was that it's like when you're walking on the beach in really wet sand, right? And you got to look, these horses, and we were talking about the walkover, and I think we really did a good job yesterday of kind of teasing everybody early about the walkover, and then you go through it. I mean, you're walking almost a half a mile even before the horses get to be saddled, and then there's hundreds of people on the track because everybody wants to walk with their horses,
right?
And then you have these 1300 pound animals in front of 175,000 people. So I mean, the energy and the track surface, it's you get a good workout, let me tell you that. As far as my pants or whatever, they were looking pretty.
Yeah, I mean,
they were looking pretty muddy. I had the gray, silver gray suit on,
right.
So I mean, the bottom of my pants were pretty much caked in Churchill Downs track.
Well, that's cool.
Whatever else, because I seen a couple of horses there decide to need to use the restroom.
Uh-oh. There's always some road app.
That type of stuff happens, right?
There's always some road apples.
That's a great thrill to be a part of that and be able to interview. And I actually interviewed Todd Pletcher, the winning trainer
of
his race prior to it. But that's always a great thrill to be a part of that walkover.
So what do you think in terms of Triple Crown chances for Always Dreaming?
Well, he looks like, and people that I talked to this morning, that he came out of the race extremely well. Again, these are animals that can't tell you that they have a bad leg or they have you could tell when they have a temperature, but they're not feeling well. I mean, so right now, not even 24 hours out from winning the 143rd Kentucky Derby, Always Dreaming seems to be in a good spot. It's probably a little bit early, but this is a lot to ask. And that's why we've only had, one in the last 38, 39 years. And that was American Pharoah a couple of years ago, Jim, you're asking these horses to run a mile and a quarter yesterday, and then in 2 weeks run a mile and 3/16 at Baltimore at Pimlico Racecourse, and then 3 weeks later go a mile and a half at Belmont. And, that's why it's a true champion that's able to get it done. And, look, Always Dreaming seems to have the tactability for running style to be able to win the next race without question. But then it'll become really demanding to be able to go that mile and a half, that championship distance. So it's probably a little early, but you know what? He's the only one that's got a shot. So let's put our hat on him and hope that he can win the second jewel, and then we can have a lot of build up for the Belmont. And obviously, that helps our ratings and our coverage if we could have a horse that's 2-for-2 going in.
Well, Always Dreaming certainly ran a good race and was ahead for a good portion. He just didn't come on in the stretch. He was leading and then fought off some challengers, so he certainly seemed to have a lot of gusto. So, as you said, only time will tell. It is a grueling, three races, and so only time will tell if we'll have another one. It was a long time before American Pharoah, and I'm thankfully old enough to remember Secretariat's amazing run in 73. That I still can remember him running away by 20 some lengths at the Belmont. That was amazing. Well, Eddie Olczyk, I guess one really quick question.
Sure.
What happened to our Blackhawks? Eddie,
well, look
you should be on a plane to some city today.
When you lose your first two games at home in the playoffs and you have home ice, obviously that's not the recipe for success.
Yeah.
They just went dry offensively, Jim. They did. I mean, they just came up empty. And now that's been a couple of weeks now. But if I'm not mistaken, the Hawks only scored three goals in four games, and I think two of those were on the power play. So do the math. One goal at even strength in four hockey games.
Yeah, you can't win that way.
You know, maybe I'm being politically correct here, saying that they went dry offensively, but one goal in four games is not going to get it done.
Yeah.
They got out-hockeyed in a lot of areas in that series. And look, everybody thought, I mean, I should say everybody. Most people on hockey thought that the Hawks were going to go into Nashville and win game three, and they're going to win the series.
Exactly.
And they had a 2-0 lead.
Yeah.
They played really well in that game, and then all of a sudden Nashville got a goal. The crowd got into it. They tied it, and then eventually won it in overtime. So, look, if you can't win game 0-0, I thought Corey Crawford was very good in that series. Just unfortunately, the Hawks went dry, and we'll see what the Blackhawks have in store for some changes, and they want to get back on that playoff train and have playoff hockey here in Chicago for. You know, for many months, not just for a couple of weeks.
Well, the good thing is that if you've got to do make some changes and get better in different ways, whether it's being more built for the playoffs than the regular season or whatever it may
sure.
be,
yeah.
I would have to say that I would not want to have. I'm glad to have people like Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, you know, Stan Bowman, Jay yeah. Blunk, and that whole and Joel Quenneville all together. That seems like a pretty good team of people to straighten and righten the ship if it has to be righten. So
without a doubt. And look, the proof speaks to what's happened here in the last little while. People forget now that this team has won three championships here in the last seven plus years, whatever the number is. It's like, look, I think any yeah. other franchise in professional sports, let alone in the city of Chicago, would take that run. And look, sometimes you're going to take your lumps, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's concern there with you know how they lost and what's happened the last couple of years. But you're right, they got the perfect people in place to make some decisions to try to fix it. And look, you're going to make some good ones, you're going to make some bad ones. That's what happens. But I think you know they certainly will have a plan here coming up, and we'll see if they can get past the first round next year.
Okay, very good, Eddie Olczyk. Always cool. Haven't seen you in a while in person, but it's always great to talk to you. And I, like I said, it's always fun watching you out at the race course because you can tell that you're really having fun. And so it's great to see somebody doing what they love and getting a chance to do it first. Thanks a lot, Eddie Olczyk,
okay,
giving
Jim,
some Kentucky Derby memories there from yesterday.